about Della. Okay. Either one of you can talk about her.
Well, Della Augusta Belknap was born September the 11th, 1907. She had beautiful auburn hair, and when she was small, Dad used to bathe Jewel and Della, and he used to take a wash rag and pick it up and just wring it over Della's hair and just curl real tight. And then, of course, it isn't as curly now, but she's older, and she went to one of our school, and then she went to Weber, I think, one year in the Weber High School in Ogden, and then the last 2-3 years she went to Ogden High School.
Because Weber had quit the high school.
Uh-huh.
And 1923 was the last graduating class. And my name's on a plaque at Weber College.
Oh, it is?
Yes, I've seen it.
Huh. Yeah, on the back of Louis Marks' statue is this bronze plaque.
And your name's on that?
Yep, the 8th one down. I could feel it, but my fingers read it.
I was going to go look that up.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I don't know really what else to say except she worked at the telephone company a while, and then she got a call to go on the mission. And Arish was bishop, and so Dr. Fouts, and asked her to go on the mission, and I guess you try it. And she got a call, finally, to go to the Northwestern mission. And she had a very nice farewell party. We used to have dances then.
Yes.
And then she left in May. I don't know what year though, I can't remember now.
1929
May. And then in September, when my mother took us there, she was ill. My mother was ill for the whole time Della was gone on her mission. And almost every letter Jewel and I wrote to Della, we told her how ill mother was. But when she came home, she just says we never told her a thing about it. And the mother dictated a letter to me to write and told Della she wasn't able to write her anymore. And that wrote to President Sloan and told him that would he please release Della because he didn't know how much longer we'd have her mother. And of course, the Northwestern State Mission in July was having a caravan trip up to the Alberta Temple. Mm-hmm. Of course, she wanted to go, but he had to tell her about her mother and had to release her then. I think it was April when she was released. And of course,
the last of March when she got home.
Well, anyway, Earl wired her and told her to catch the train to come down the coast of San Francisco, then come onto Montello. He said, I want you to go.
Sparks?
No, he lived in Montello when mother died. And he said, get off at Montello, because I want to talk to you and explain to you about mother's condition. But she didn't say a word, and I had mother sitting in a big comfort chair, and I looked out the front room, and there was Della getting out of the taxi, and she came in. One look at mother. Mother says, Della, look like I slept in the place. She says, God, to see how bad mother looked. And then she says, you never told me mother was sick. I don't know why she says things like that, but we said every letter we ever wrote her, and I see the person Sloan told you, and Earl wired you, things like that. And she was home about 5 weeks when mother died. And then she did go back to Weber College for a while, and then she went back to telephone company. She was supervisor there for a while, and then she was service observer. They had a room for two service observers, and they listened to what people, if the operators are giving the right to orders for the people.
Right service,
and if they didn't, they had to report it. And I guess she worked there until she got a heart condition, and she had to get...
She had to retire early.
Had an early medical retirement. I was at 62 when she retired.
I don't remember. She was about 57, somewhere around there.
She's kind of young. But she loved ceramics. She had her own peel.
Mm-hmm.
And she had many molds. And she sold a lot of things. And then she bought...
Well, let's tell what she had, honey.
Well, go ahead and you tell it.
Well, I just want to let this one, and you still have that other. That she took classes on the side for her ceramics, and she also painted on cloth, towels, all kinds, and scarves for women and scarves for men with their initials on. And I had samples of them. We took them up in my store, and I sold a lot of it. I did all the wrapping of them, making them real attractive. Towel sets and the colors and stuff like that. And then when she got into ceramics, making molds, bookends and things, well, I took a lot of them up there and sold it. And then she took some to the telephone company, and she had a Santa Claus picture with the heads on the cups, and somebody swiped one of them that she had on display.
But she had a big picture.
That still is there in her house, I think, yeah, that part. But then she did batiking work, the different colors, and I even bought some linen and had her, she fringed the edge all the way around and had sort of an orangey, a light color, and on the corner she had the design, then made 12 napkins for me. And I treasure them a lot. She was very good at stuff like that, and she was busy, and where she is at, they heard about it and wanted to help with their china stuff and painting. But Della said her eyesight's going, and not having her right hand, that was very difficult. And she could see that she wasn't doing the good work, so she wouldn't do it anymore. But she was very talented, as well as Father gave her
an artwork in that she was
talented. And she, in 1938, Dad gave her stuff of the records, put it in a trunk up in the room where Della lived at 2149. Dad had asked her to come and take care of him the last, the last year. And then Gladys talked to him, stayed there for a little while they were looking for a house. And so, anyway, she now had a severe stroke. And the way things are in her head and the veins, she could have others anytime. And I think with the care she's getting, which I know she don't appreciate because it isn't home, and I feel sorry. And we thought at the time that she might go anytime, so we went and bought her casket and all the stuff, the funeral arrangements, clothes and everything, and also had a marker. It isn't what we wanted, but that's the only spot there it was, we could get her in, and Dad thought. Anyway, when she took this Bluth, what do you call them?
Coat of arms?
They're sealed, you know, of each nationality and stuff. And she had, from the description, she had painted one. And she took it up to Inkley's to see if they could reproduce it. So when she gave those who bought the book, the German book, that they would have this coat of arms, and they praised her for the good job she did. And I thought they could have used her long ago in stuff like that, because the other was money for a living, but it wasn't what she wanted out of life. I felt so bad she never got to do what she really wanted to. And of course, she's there now, and it's the only way that could handle it, that if anything happened to the rest of us, who now aren't able to take care of her, that she will have somebody or some care as long as her funds and she lives. And you can't tell people that. And of course now there's a lot of names and things she don't remember. She called me up to tell me Stephen had been in and where he was going places and this, and she couldn't remember any of it. She said Stephen brought me a letter I said, did you read it to her? And she said, yes. I says, who's it from? Well, she don't remember. She said, I'll look it up. Okay, buddy.
No. She wants to come home quite badly, but she's right hand is paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And they had therapy treatment on it. And finally, her hand hurt her all the time. And I asked them, they couldn't give her a pain pill. And they took x-rays and found her hand. Four breaks in here.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And they're never healed.
So her hand, her right hand, has actually broken the fingers,
yeah,
the bones in her hand.
Broken in
but
her
the
hand.
Thumb was never paralyzed. All her,
just four fingers. But they have to give her a pain pill. But she says she can feel the pain in 2 hours. But they can't give them any oxygen every 4 hours. And that's another thing, she can't be alone because you don't know what she'll do. And she can't see the cook. Her eyes are getting worse and worse, and she's quite hardly hearing now.
Yeah.
And so she wants to know so bad. There isn't anyone up there that she really can converse with, except this little Jones, and now she's moving to another home. We don't know what we can do about that, and feel sorry for her, but I can't take care of her because then I have to help me because I can't see the cook either. And I have diabetes and I have very poor equilibrium. I can't walk very good either, so I can't take care of her. You can, so I don't know what
you want to say anything about Byron?
Well,
that's
I have told about me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me see.